Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Random Conversations, Episode 1. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
You know, this is something that we've talked about for a while, right? And over the last year or so, we should have people on, right? And then, well, let's do it. We can have random conversations, right? Because we got Regular Guys Random Thoughts. We've got our, our Random Thoughts Live episodes. And we should have some conversations with people, right? Of course, don't get me wrong. We love you guys in the chat. And these conversations keep us going all the time. But it's, and that conversation could be about so many different things. So this is the first of many more to come of our Random Conversations version of the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. So appreciate you guys coming along with us. And of course, for our first episode, bringing back A Married at First Sight, Denver, season 17, fan favorite. And forgive me if I mess up the pronunciation, because I give people a hard time when they mess mine up. Michael Chiklis Jr., correct?
Hey, no, that's good. I didn't realize I'm the inaugural episode here. I feel honored.
Yeah, you're the first. And a good first, right? Because we've had the conversation about random people, but I was like, yeah, Michael would be great to bring on here. So we're excited to have you.
Appreciate it. We got the bad first out of the way with the show anyway, so I'm glad to be a part of a good first now. So
there you go. Your life in the last 12 months has been a lot of firsts, right? So the boxing match, let's get there first. How did that go? And what was the difference between being in the ring and training for it?
I think being in the ring, the biggest difference is like how much respect you have for people that take on a sport. Like when you're training for something, it's just a different environment. Like you start to acclimate. In my case, I'm acclimating to the gym I'm in. I'm acclimating to the people that are hitting me in the face, right? And having to fight in this actual event, which they put on a really big event. It's not like a standard amateur fight that's just like in a little ballroom, hall, right, in some hotel. They rented out a major music venue. There were, I'm pretty sure there was close to 1,000 people there. And they do the whole pageantry of it. And the biggest challenge for me was like, there were moments in the fight where it's like in my head, I was like, I need to do this. He's being successful doing this. I need to do this. I didn't have that built-in reaction. So before I knew it, I was like, wait a minute, the round is over, and I didn't do what I was supposed to do. Overall, the experience was great. Unfortunately, I didn't win the fight. My opponent, his name was Toby, who was fighting. I mean, we're all fighting for this cause, to fight against cancer. And he had this great story of his best friend that he lost at an early age. I think he was in his early 20s that he lost for cancer. And he's a teacher. He was a teacher out here in Denver. He fought a great fight. Like he did a great job of changing levels. So there are a lot of times like he would drop down and I would lose the vision of him. He'd pop back up and he was constantly applying, And like my biggest error was like I was fighting on my back foot too much. I was going backwards too much.
So I guess it's true. Everybody has a plan until you get punched in the mouth.
It's true. That is true.
And it's crazy. Like when you get hit, like your first instinct is like, man, I got to get him back. I need to get him back right now. and so like I would get caught up in that a little bit too much at times. Mm.
Here's a question too, because I mean, you're hitting the heavy bags, hitting the mitts. That's one thing. When you actually have the duck punches coming back at you is another thing. But I know when I'm playing golf and another foursome runs up on us and I'm like, oh, man. The gallery's here. You're talking about being in an arena where there are over 1,000 people. Now, that just adds to the anxiety. So I will say this. You won already just getting in the ring and competing. So there's that.
Thank you. Yeah, and it's, I mean, I know a lot of people talk about how they kind of zone out and they don't really hear the crowd. I would say that's true for the most part. I wouldn't hear the crowd for most of the time until, like, a good hit landed, right? Like when one of us would really hit the other person clean, you could hear the crowd be like, oh, And those were like those were the key indicators where I was like, oh shit, I think he really tagged me there. Or inversely, like, oh, I gotta jump on this, you know?
Right. Now, did you hear him louder when he hit you or when you hit him? That's the real question.
So in the end, because I knew I was losing the fight going into the third round. So I knew, I was like, all right, I have to, like, I can't do this cute shit about trying to move around the ring. Like, I need to stand there and trade with him. And there was a time where I know he caught me with, like, you know, 2, 3, 4 punches. And I could just, and I was hearing the crowd and I was like, damn, like he got me. Like, it was weird. Cause in those moments, especially in the getting hit to the head, I mean, unless it's something like really devastating, the pain doesn't really, like the next day I was sore in the face, but from a pain standpoint, you don't really feel it. The body, you too, but the head, you don't. It's just the one thing that's disorienting is like getting hit and your head moving when you don't expect it to. So like, your vision gets diverted here and you got to bring it back.
It's the reason why when boxers go down, you see that surprise look on their face. It's like, there's a reason for it. They're like, oh, what happened?
See, this is why I couldn't do it. Because I agree with Yanni. You got in the ring. That's something I haven't done. But I feel like if you catch me with a good one, I might forget all my training, go straight to that windmill. Just, I can't believe you. Try to get pissed. Just try to get mad.
So you're saying you'd fight like a high school girl, Terrell. I got you.
Yeah. 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 That's exactly what I do. I'm scratching eyes. I'm pulling hair. I'm doing whatever it takes.
I did want to make sure that I did say this. You know, after the last time I was on here and you guys allowed me to talk about the fight, I did get a lot of donations from the people that watch this podcast because they called it out in the comments. So I'm really thankful for that. I really appreciate you guys letting me raise awareness, you know, on your platform about it.
Awesome. That's what it's all about. People helping people, but great cause, great job with the fight. And I thought your moves looked pretty good from the videos I saw. Really, I told you, I was like, I thought you'd won based on what I saw. And Yanni, for someone who always tries to judge how people punch on every episode of Mirror First Sight, somebody's going to come out, you know, acting like they're boxing. You've been the only one that he's approved.
No, I know. I heard that early, and I was like, "All right, I like this guy." Right?
Hey, by the way, Michelle asked, "How long did it take you to recover from that boxing match?" Because that's the part that people don't talk about: the recovery.
Yeah, the physical part. I mean, I took a break from training for about a week and a half. I probably could have resumed training in like 5 days. I'd say the two areas that I really had to rest was like, I mean, the side of my face was sore, but I could have gone through that. But my left hand was way more sore than I thought it would, because I think there were some punches. Again, it's the things you underestimate, right? Like, everyone thinks like when you punch someone, you hit them on the perfect part of your hand. But there were some punches where I know I kind of clipped him here. And so like this part of my hand was really sore. But more than anything, it was more so like just having to rest my body, because, you know, for what, 5.5 months, like I was locked in, you know, 6 days a week training, running, you know, 20 plus miles a week and stuff. So it was just, and my body just needed to rest.
Right. Mm. Did your castmates show up?
Yeah. No, I mean, a lot of them weren't able to make it, just, I mean, it was in the middle of the week and stuff, but Austin showed up for me. That guy, I knew he was gonna show up for me, though. That guy is always, he's always there for me.
You know, it's funny you say Austin, because Amelia had a question a long time already. I'm sorry, it's covering up your face. I guess you can see she wrote a long question here. Question: will Michael confirm or deny if Austin had a romantic attraction to him? In my opinion, it was obvious that Austin befriended women, but possibly was attracted to men. No judgment, just couldn't unsee. Loaded question.
Goodness. 10 minutes in.
Amelia, if you were to meet Austin in real life, I promise you, you would not have that question. I can guarantee it. I can guarantee it. It's funny to see that, like, the dichotomy of, you know, how people receive us on the show, which I completely get. You know, it's impossible to show a complete person when you have 9 others you got to showcase too. But that specific element of him, you know, I've been out in these streets with Austin.
Stories.
I promise you.
He's a savage.
That question wouldn't come up.
Oh, Oh, so he only sleeps with randoms, just not his wife. Got it. Austin, I'm probably kidding, man. It was just a joke.
Just a joke.
Probably attracted to the randoms. I'm sorry.
So speaking of dating, you happen to catch our show we did a few weeks ago where we were talking about dating apps and all mm-hmm. that. So I've been curious. So what's dating been like for you? Because I would think if you got onto a dating app, people are going to recognize you in Colorado. Mm-hmm. Does that mean you're just blowing up, or is it too much to keep up with? Is it bad having all that attention from Married at First Sight and then trying to date? What's been going on with you in that?
You know, for me, I specifically stayed off the app. So when everything concluded with the show, first and foremost, I felt like it was the appropriate thing would be like, well, you kind of have to let the divorce stuff start taking place and let that hit a particular point. And then even after that, I just felt like where I was, what my situation is, because, you know, coming off the show, knowing I was doing this boxing event, it's like I'm not going to really be able to put that kind of energy to get out there and try to machine gun this thing with the dating approach, you know. So I didn't get back on any of the apps. I would imagine that there probably would have been an advantage, you know, in terms of being recognized specifically in Denver. But I felt like it would be better just for me to double down and you know, play it the organic way, like keep my right. try to stay out there socially and approach it that way, as opposed to, you know, going on the apps. And that's to say, like, that was more to build the habit, because I wasn't actively dating mm-hmm. when the show ended.
So now when you go to bars, it's instead of the apps, you're just walking up to people spitting game. Like, you're like, hey, nice, that's a really nice skirt you have. Look at mine. Look at those earrings you have. I have those earrings too. Hi, hey, I'm Michael.
If you see me out here in one of the skirts, then you know I'm serious. You know I'm serious.
Now, you watched the episode of the dating apps, and there were quite a few people who said that, like, okay, it's a failure. And even one who specifically said, we need to call this dating app experiment a failure, right? You said mm-hmm. you haven't been on it much since the show, obviously, letting the divorce go through. But then you've used dating apps before. Am I correct in
yeah.
that?
Mm-hmm.
Would you consider them a failure? Or is it, as we said, hey, sometimes it's different strokes for different folks. Tell you them, I don't.
I wouldn't say it's a failure.
You're married. You shouldn't. So, just throw that out there. You're married. You shouldn't.
I wouldn't say it's a failure. I think the problem is it's almost like an overcorrection, right? Mm-hmm. So if we were just to condense the timeline of the proliferation of dating apps, you had a time frame where, like, it was a stigma. Like, oh, you're only on there because you have trouble meeting people organically, right? That, and, like, people didn't really like to say, like, oh, I'm on a dating app. And even if you met someone, like, when you introduced them to your friends, like, you didn't want to really say, like, oh, we met on a dating app, right? This is kind of the origination of it. And then it started to mature where now you had a bunch of dating apps that tried to specialize, right? Okay, if you just want to hook up, you kind of knew, you go here. If you're looking for a more, you know, deeper connection, a real long-term relationship, you go here, and then there's a bunch in the middle. I think the problem is that now the dating landscape has adjusted and has really taken advantage of how easy dating apps makes it to meet people. I mean, there's something to say, like, when you meet someone organically, especially when there wasn't the option of dating apps, or at least when there was a stigma behind it, like, I think inherently you're like, oh shit, like, it's kind of hard to meet people because I've gone out how many times, and, like, it takes a lot of effort to, like, go to a, you know, to a bar, a lounge, whatever, with your friends, organize that night, and then hopefully meet someone, connect. That's a lot more effort than logging onto an app, building a profile, and just swiping. So right. I think the failure, so to speak, is having an imbalance. Like, if you can, it shouldn't be mutually exclusive. It shouldn't be like, okay, now that there's dating apps, that's like 95% of my dating experience. You know, and I can't ignore the benefits that it brings, particularly in like, there's two things that come to my mind. Number one, there's just certain people that like, they hang out in different parts of towns. Like when I was in LA, like you might only be 7 miles away from someone, but you may never go. Like if you're in West Hollywood, you might never ever go to Santa Monica to hang out unless.
Please explain this to Terrell, because he had this to say about two people who are living in LA on another show.
No, that's still cap. That they were dating for 3 years. 3 years and never met each other in person. According to them, it was a lie, I'm sure.
Well, there's a lot to question there. But I mean, in terms of just like your paths ever crossing, right? Like there's, I think in a lot of major markets, you kind of get stuck in your bubble. In LA in specific, and I'd imagine it's like this New York, even though someplace only like 7 miles away, that could be an hour and a half.
Right. Houston.
You know,
Cleveland, that's Cleveland, because there are no highways. So it's like in Cleveland, it's 2 miles away. It's 25 minutes.
Yeah.
yeah. You're in Katy and you match with somebody in Pearland. You're like, yeah, it's too far. It's not going to
be. At least dating apps enable you to interact with these people and like make you invested enough to go and meet them and see if something. So that's one benefit. And I'd say the second benefit is if you have really hard and fast rules around like, do they want a family? Like what their timeline there is, you know, their political or religious beliefs, like any strong stances that's extremely important to you. I mean, apps help you filter that out, right? Like you will know that right away if you set your filters accordingly and if they share that information, as opposed to like having to go into the date and like broach that conversation.
Terrell, you have a lot before you even meet somebody. And I can't remember all the things you said that you do with it, but can you explain like the things that you say, like, okay, before you meet somebody, you need to know this rather than waste the time. And Michael, see if you agree with Terrell's assessment of this part.
Okay.
So I look at what they have in their profile now, what their political affiliation is. I don't really pay attention to that. If they are religious, I will ask, hey, how important is religion to you? Because there's no point in us meeting if you're expecting me to, you know, I attend Bedside Baptist every Sunday morning. The place is awesome. Reverend Pillow is phenomenal. I sleep well, but I'm not going to be going with you, right? But I at least want to let them know up front. I like to see, do they have kids? Do they have small children? All those things. But outside of that, I mainly look for, what is the banter like? Do we have it? Can this person conversate with me and keep me interested enough to either want to FaceTime or talk on the phone with them? And then to actually meet in person. I think what I did when I first started getting on the dating apps after my last relationship, I think that I was too filtered and just trying to like only look for people that fit a certain thing. And I realized that you can't really do that. And I'm possibly passing up some really great people over something that's silly. You know, and I mean, when I say something silly, like I'd have my height range at like 5'8". And I'm like, well, I've dated someone taller than me before. What if I put 6 foot? You know, now that opens up more options of people to talk. You had to have a bachelor's degree. I had that in there. And I was like, wait a minute. I know some people who didn't go to college that are super intelligent, super smart. Maybe I'm passing up somebody being judgy over little stuff, you know? So that's how I approach it.
Yeah. I think first and foremost, you just have to be honest with yourself. And I think you discovered that some of those things materially don't matter. Like if she is taller than you, does that materially matter? No. If she has different religious beliefs, does that materially matter? Only if she expects me to convert to it. So I would say that my approach when I was on them was relatively similar. I think I viewed it through the lens of like, in a vacuum, like if you had, let's say, for example, if you were politically aligned in a certain way or religiously aligned in a certain way, in a vacuum, I didn't weight it too much, but like if it was like you were politically aligned and had this certain religious affiliation, I kind of looked at like, then your worldview might be in a certain element here. Like I tried to measure compatibility like that. Like, let me try to summarize, instead of focusing on one thing, let me try to summarize what I can based on the information they share. just to see if they'd even be receptive to me, you know? But like you said, I think generally speaking, I think it's probably better to widen your net, and except for the things that you really know you wouldn't negotiate on. Like if someone says like, I want kids, and you know you don't want kids, yeah. So that's probably...
Don't waste time.
It might be challenging to negotiate through.
Exactly. You know, Pink Butterfly says, Terrell, my father had the same religious viewpoint. In comes my mom. A year later, he was baptized and is a deacon. Won't she do it? Yes, she did. There's hope.
Congratulations. Congratulations. I think that's awesome. Who knows? That could happen to me one day. Doubt it. But
such a skeptic. Now, Michael, Layla has a question for you. Do you have three absolute deal breakers when it comes to dating? Absolute deal breakers.
Probably not as hard and fast as the question is really trying to point to. I'll say the things that like will kind of tip me off. Like if I'm with someone that's super serious and I can't be an idiot around and make nonsensical jokes, that for me is a pretty strong deal breaker. Just because I know how I am. Like I'm going to want to say stupid things every now and then. I'm going to want to be able to joke at any moment. So I would say that would be a pretty big deal breaker for me. You guys touched on this on a previous podcast. I would say like we don't have to align on everything. We definitely don't have to align on the big things. But if it's a situation where like the conversation is shut down because we don't agree, and I get that sense, right? Like if we broach a topic and I can tell, okay, we have a different viewpoint and she's already of the mindset like, well, I'm shutting this down. Like, I don't want to hear what you have to say if this is what you believe. That to me is a pretty big deal breaker because I think that's like, that's the heart of everything, right? You're never going to fully align on everything. I'm trying to think of one that's a little bit more like easy to assess.
If she doesn't have a Penelope?
an animal farm and five adopted kids?
If she doesn't like to frequent the sex shop, is that one of the deal breakers?
I mean, you are naming positive things.
So these are things they should bring to the table.
I mean, as you guys can tell, like I switch it up a lot, you know. Yeah. So like, if that would bother them, if the fact that I change up my look a lot, or like even what I'm, you know, putting my energy in at a given time, if that kind of stuff really bothers them and they need, you know, something a little bit more solid on a day-to-day basis, that'd probably be a deal breaker for me too.
Okay, so we got your three. And Terrell, Layla says, same question to you, Terrell. Three absolute deal breakers when it comes to dating. I mean, he's got a list, so we know it's going to be tough for him to pick three out of this mile-long list. And if you say you don't have a list, you know they will start the list again in the chat, so don't even go there.
Small list. Okay, so
long list.
Has anybody said braids yet? Anybody say that? Which, it's not on my list. That's not on my list. But I would say, if I had to think of my three deal breakers, someone that is very negative, either okay. Just negative towards people, negative towards life, just Debbie Downer, or I call it Chicken Little syndrome. The sky is always falling in their world.
Yeah,
I can't date somebody that's like that. Somebody that doesn't have a passion for something. You know, I don't want to be with somebody that's just, you know, going through life. I want them to experience life and have something that they're excited about. It doesn't have to be my passion, but just something that they're into. If you don't have anything at all, I probably wouldn't be interested. This is an interesting deal breaker that over my dating experience recently, or being on apps, I've learned to ask this question. People that have issues with intimacy, you know, and whether that's emotional intimacy or physical intimacy, folks like that, I can't date, right? And it's crazy. I had someone that she doesn't like. What was it she didn't like? She didn't like to kiss. And I was like, what? Like, explain it. She goes, no, I just think the idea of a guy putting his tongue in my mouth is disgusting. I was like, we're not going to work out. That's just weird. Whatever you have that issue with, but some people have intimacy issues and connecting with people. And I need that. I'm a Scorpio. I need to know that we're in. We got this bond. And so someone's like that, I couldn't date him.
Interesting you said that just now about she didn't like kissing, and you mentioned intimacy, right? Because I've always said, and you guys agree or disagree with me on this one, kissing is more intimate than actual intercourse.
Oh yeah. I think generally speaking, like kissing, handholding, those public displays of affection, those things that are like more consistently reaffirming the relationship or the intent of a relationship or dating or whatever, they definitely can be more intimate than sex.
I still think that's just a line from Pretty Woman. Sorry. It sounds great, but I'm sorry.
It's true, though. I mean, it's like,
it's definitely. Ab, I think you probably kiss more people in a lifetime than you actually have sex with. So to me, I think the
opposite. You know my life.
All right, back in the day, Yanni kissed anybody but a dead body, any soul but a shoe soul. Yanni would kiss it.
True, but I guess I would counter by saying this, like, yeah, if you're talking about like a club or bar setting, but like you're walking down the street with the woman and like you stop because you admire her or whatever and kiss her, like how many times have you had that kind of kissing experience and what did that mean, you know, versus just like a one night stand, for example.
Right.
Right.
Petey says, kissing what? I knew somebody was going to take it at some point.
But Keith, if you have to ask.
Tell you who agrees. No kissing is definitely a deal breaker. And no, absolutely.
I agree with that for sure.
That was definitely one of mine. As Moondance had asked, you know, what were my deal breakers? I would say I can't think of what I haven't had to in over 4 years.
Can we talk about your list?
Hey, shut up.
Can we talk about your list? Feet. Luggage on the bed. Dogs. I mean, we can keep going.
I'll be honest. The luggage on the bed, that came from my wife because I didn't even think about that until she brought it up. And it made sense. I'm like, you know what, babe? You are absolutely right. See, when you get a wife, you'll learn these things. This is why you're ignorant to that right now.
That's right. You're married, so you have the beams of light that shoot out your hands. Michael's been married, so y'all have this level of wisdom.
Michael understands.
I just don't get.
See?
I'm enlightened now.
Yeah.
One day, Terrell, you too shall cross the path.
Until I can take the pebble from your hand, right?
Indeed. Well, you know, there's so many things to cover in dating in this space. I know we're going to have you back on to do even more things with us as we discuss a lot more paths than this, but. Just for the folks who've been asking, and this is one that came up as well, because, of course, people are still interested in what's happened since Married at First Sight. Layla also did ask this earlier. Have you kept in touch with any of the Married at First Sight women? Because, you know, we know you hung out with Austin, and especially when he's out there being a devil in the streets. Knocking down those rumors in Denver, but obviously not on the Internet. But how about the women?
I haven't kept in touch with them with any consistency. Like, I don't feel like I'm on bad terms with any of them, but not on a consistent basis, no.
I couldn't imagine they would be upset with you. I mean, you seem to be Switzerland throughout the whole thing. So I figure you were good.
I mean, I'd like to think I am, but, you know, if I run into any of them in the streets out here, I'm sure I'll find out quickly. You know,
I can see Claire. It's Michael. Let's go, girls.
We got to get out of here now. He's here.
I mean, so even like there's something you mentioned earlier, too, about when it came to the dating apps and organic. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Someone like Terrell, who refuses to meet anyone or talk to anyone when he's in a Home Depot or grocery shopping, is just like, yeah, no, that's not the time for conversation. How do you then meet people in this new age? Because, you know, I'm removed from this. I have no idea how you meet people anymore. I always used to say, go to the gas station or go to the grocery store because they got to eat and they got to get gas. And nowadays, those can be delivered. So how do you meet people organically and not on the dating apps?
And we're talking about besides, you know, going out in social environments. Right. After 10 p.m.
Right.
And tell you don't run around after 10 p.m. Well, I see where you're coming from in the sense that, like, going into a Whole Foods with an agenda to meet a woman probably isn't the best mindset to have. I say it has to be about more of like receptivity. And in fairness, like, when it comes to, and I'm generalizing, there's always, you know, unique circumstances. When it comes to women and their social cues of showing interest, I've learned that it's a lot more subtle, mm-hmm. right? So a glance, a smile your way, like, these are things that I think as long as you're showing the proper etiquette and decorum, like, it's okay to act upon it. I mean, worst case scenario, she's not interested. She's taken and she communicates that. But like, I think first and foremost, before even thinking like, oh, I want to take her out, like, just open up a friendly conversation. I mean, it's kind of, if you think about it, the mechanics behind it is the same thing we do in bars and clubs anyways.
Right.
I mean, outside of just like going and like trying to dance with a woman, but like, if you're at a
doing
bar.
Doing that in L13 is going to be kind of wild.
Yeah. Ooh, girl, this is my song. Come here.
What are they playing in here? Yeah. Like, if you're at a bar and you're ordering a drink, you know, that's kind of a great opportunity if there's a group of women next to you and they're waiting on a drink and, like, you just engage, you know, in conversation if they happen to glance your way. As I say, if you're perusing the organic vegetable aisle and, like, a woman's there too and you guys happen to make eye contact or whatever, like, I think it's perfectly fine to engage in conversation. Then you can kind of feel if, like, they're engaged or not. So I think it's about being receptive to things like that.
Especially if she's shopping for eggplant tail. So you make sure if she's doing that, you go strike up a conversation immediately.
That's a dead giveaway right
there. See, I have my AirPods in. I'm listening to music. I'm not trying to talk to anybody. But I think what happened when we were talking about this is some of the ladies in the chat felt it was kind of creepy that when guys would approach them because they're just coming from the gym, they're not in that zone, and they also have their AirPods in, and so they didn't want to be bothered. So I think it's I agree with you that pretty much what you're saying is you miss all the shots you don't take. You could try to reach out to some, but do it in a respectful way and just kind of gauge if they're interested. The problem is a lot of men don't understand sometimes not interested. And if you think about rom-coms, what do rom-coms teach us? Keep trying until you wear her down and she eventually likes you.
Yeah.
Right.
And to your point, like, if she has her AirPods in and she's looking down and going through her list and doesn't look at you at all, like, yeah, I wouldn't recommend, like, oh, you know, you need to go approach her. But if she looks up, smiles, you know, that could potentially be an opening to, and again, if you're just like, hey, what's your number? Again, I could see why that'd be creepy, but if it's just an innocuous conversation that you're starting, you know, again, worst case is she'll break away from it.
Right.
We'll call security.
So no, it's only creepy when they're not attractive or can't take a hint. We've said this. There's a thin line between flirting and harassment, especially in the workplace, because you leave a note every day. If she likes you, it's cute. It's flirting. If she doesn't, HR?
You're crazy. Yeah.
See, that I totally agree with that 100% because Michael could be in Whole Foods and, you know, the female version of Sloth from Goonies walks up. Michael's going to be like, no, I wasn't on Married at First Sight. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't live here. I'm just visiting.
I've seen you.
Get away from my car.
By the way, Miss Tillman 79 says, I'm the same way when I'm in the store. But if someone speaks, I will engage. Keywords here, if interested.
But that's funny because I could just see, hey, excuse me, ma'am. She just kind of look up and down and just walk off with the cart. Not interested.
And by the way, Michael Tehu says, if I saw Michael was in Whole Foods, I would def holler.
Well, I'm flattered. Thank you.
Michelle did ask a question here too. Have you been traveling lately?
I have. So I was pretty much locked down throughout until the fight happened. I did a little bit of travel in between. Like, I think actually right before I hopped on with you guys last time, I went to Philadelphia for like a week, and it wasn't anything big. But then since my fight, did a trip to Vegas to meet up with my friends back in Southern California. They kind of do like an annual trip.
Right.
I just got back from Italy. I was there for like 9 days, and then I got a bunch of domestic trips on the horizon upcoming. So I have been traveling, yes.
Favorite place to travel and place that you definitely need to go, which is obviously not going to be stateside, but hey, this is on the bucket list. Gotta knock that down.
That I want to knock down?
Yeah.
I definitely want to knock down like Eastern Europe, like Prague and Budapest. I feel like I've neglected that area. After experiencing the southern part of Italy, I now have a invigorated interest when it comes to like the Greek islands and like doing that. Japan for the longest time was on my bucket list, but I was able to knock that down last year.
Nice,
man. But give me recommendations for Greece, because I plan to go. I turned 50 in November, and so I think I plan to go April, May time next year.
A lot of the people that we mingled with while I was in Italy, a lot of them were from Australia, and they were out there on holiday, and they all seemed to have the same itinerary. They were leaving Italy to go to Greece, specifically either Santorini or Mykonos, and they would try to squeeze Ibiza in there. So that'd be the rough itinerary that I'd recommend to you. And then after I do it, I will give you the full itinerary.
So I'll give you the map, lay it out for you. Here's what you do.
Lay it all out
this time. Hey, Michael, always a pleasure having you on with us, man. And definitely looking forward to doing it again and on more topics, even dating or otherwise. But, you know, before you go and before we get out of here, any other dating shows you're watching in the moment? Or do you just like, you know what? I'm done with reality dating TV. I'm not watching any of it.
Nah, I kind of shut it down. You know, I mean, obviously I'm interested in the next season of Married at First Sight. I want to see after the wonderful disaster that our season was. I kind of want to see what the follow-up is. Plus, I have ties to Chicago. Like, a ton of my family's from there. So I'm really curious to see how that plays out. I haven't invested fully in another show. Like, I watched Love is Blind when that dropped, but right. You know, that dropped months ago already.
Yeah. And that's like,
is there anything right now? I mean, I know you guys have been like recapping other shows and stuff, but is there any one in particular that like has really captivated your guys' interest right now?
I'll let Terrell answer that one first. Just because I know whatever I say, he's going to be. Because 90 Day Fiancé UK was not it. It's the only show we have never finished. The only one. We're like, the hell with it. We're done.
We tried. We couldn't do that one. And I'm just not interested in a lot of the shows. Now, we did come across this Pop the Balloon. That's a show that's on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And am I excited about it? No. Do I like making fun of it? Yes.
Oh, wait till this week. I started watching this week's episode. Oh, it's hilarious.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, I saw they dropped today, and I'm like, oh, great. Now I got to watch this weekend.
Exactly.
How about your audience? Like, when you do the lives, like, do you get a sense, like, which shows they really gravitate to hear your guys' take on the most?
You know, I think Married at First Sight and Love is Blind have been the biggest ones, right? And those are the ones, obviously. I mean, Mavs is a franchise. And, you know, you really think that, like, somewhat 90 Day Fiancé, which has grown into such a bigger franchise and so many, I don't want to say offspring, but, you know, the spinoffs that come out of it, it really is, that's a huge one. But I think that's gone in such a manner that it's kind of diverted from it. So I think Married at First Sight has taken the lead for us. And Love is Blind and when the ultimatum. We just missed the ultimatum South Africa because I think we were late on that one. But that was an interesting one to watch, too.
Damn, yeah. I forgot about Ultimatum. I was on Ultimatum. I was on that show, like, I mean, as in watching it, obviously not on it.
So which episode? We missed it.
Early on, because I thought, man, this shit is crazy. Could you imagine, like, if you were with someone and they're like, you know what, I have a great idea on how we could fix our relationship.
No, let's take a break. No. Just a week.
You know, I'll be like, okay, you know what? Let's go right now. And as soon as you walk out the door, blam, we're done. Because there's no way we're doing that. No way.
No.
Just tell me we're done. That's it. We're not doing it. Well, look, I know Mavs is coming back soon. We definitely want to get your insight on that as well as that's kicking off. And, of course, back in the Random Conversation. So even the Random Thoughts Live, we'd love to get you back in with us some more.
Yeah, man. No, I'd love to do it. I love interacting with you guys. You guys have great fans, too, and always have fun chatting with you guys. So
do we, man. I appreciate it.
Where can everybody find you on social?
You guys can find me at _MikeyIsHere. That's MikeyIsHere. And then another underscore right after that.
By the way, Tay, who said this earlier? Curls is popping.
I'm surprised. I'm surprised you guys didn't say anything about it. But I was like, that's all right.
The women noticed it. I mean, Terrell and I are not going to notice it. I'm sorry.
I appreciate it. You got the highlights going. And everything.
I see that. Hey, I'm Yachty Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yachty Rude, at Just Terrell, and at the RGRT pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts, some of the bullshit from the internet. We'll talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast. Thanks, Michael, for hanging out again, man.
Cheers, brother.
Always, guys. Take care.